There is a famous philosophical problem regarding tefillah, which is that, let's make the assumption, I think it's a pretty mukhrach assumption, if you have, not this, but this. If you have like Tanakh and Chazal, etc., that tefillah works. What does work mean? Obviously, you don't always get what you ask for. That would be a little childish. But the point is that tefillah does have power to accomplish something, to somehow cause you to get something that you pray for that you otherwise might not have gotten. Right? There's a koach to tefillah. It doesn't always work, but it sometimes works. It has a certain power. The question is, what is the power of tefillah? Meaning, how does davening help you get something? Let's say, I don't know, some guy, he's sick, right? So he davens to Hashem for refuah, and that could help. How could that help? Now, let's use a mashal, right? Avinu Malkeinu, right? Let's say you're a father. If my kid asked me for something, might that help him receive it? If you ask your father for something, might you get it? Quite possibly, yes. Why? How does asking your father for something cause him to give it to you?
Now he knows you need it.
Because now he knows you need it. The most obvious example is, my kid says, Abba, can I have pretzels? I'm like, yeah. Why didn't I give him pretzels beforehand? Because I didn't know he wanted pretzels or a car or whatever it may be. Right? So, maybe he's giving me information I didn't have, and that information as to his wants, and maybe he'll even explain himself further. Right? Dad, buy me a car, and he'll give me all the reasons I didn't think of why he wants a car. So he might be giving me information I don't have, which makes me give him something. That works very well for human fathers. Problem is, it's not so shaykh. It doesn't apply so well to Hashem, because he already knows everything. So that's not going to be a good explanation. Okay, how else might...
Asking
to cause a certain endearment, meaning maybe he can like somehow affect my emotions, right? It might not be more information. It might affect my emotions. Perhaps he'll ask so nicely and endear himself to me, or those of us who are actually fathers know more likely he'll just cry and fetch so much that I get so annoyed that it's worth giving him a candy just to get him out of my face, or whatever the case may be. Meaning he'll somehow play with my emotions and make me do something that I might not logically have done. Okay, that works well for a human father either. Either you can logically give information or cause him to act emotionally. Problem is, that doesn't really work for God either, because God is infinitely wise, and therefore, you shouldn't be able to play with his emotions. Meaning, you shouldn't be able to tell God something he doesn't know, or make him want to do something he doesn't want to do. You shouldn't really be able to influence God to do something that is not really the right thing to do. I mean, another way of saying this, Hashem always knows the best thing to do, so he would do it. So, like, why would you do something else? Because you asked him.
Well, I use the term endeared because it wasn't just that it's the division of emotions, but that perhaps what you're doing is now putting in position to you, or when you recognize the dependence on that, that you're requesting it, that it's worthy of.
Okay, so perhaps the difference is you make yourself more worthy, perhaps. Right? This is the most classic philosophical answer to how tefillah can have koach. Right? Meaning, how can you change God's mind if he knows better than you, he knows everything, and you can't play with his emotions? So the answer is, let's see, number one, the Sefer Yikarim. Hopefully we're a little familiar with the Sefer Yikarim, or someday we'll become more familiar with the Sefer Yikarim. We have Yosef Albo, one of the last Jewish philosophers from the time of the Rishonim. He writes, number one, what caused people to doubt the efficacy of tefillah is similar to what caused them to deny God's knowledge of particulars, which is not our topic now. They say that you can't escape a mimonafshach. Either Hashem had previously decreed, remember, he knows everything. Either he had previously decided to give this certain person a certain good thing, or he hadn't. So if Hashem wants to give it to you, you don't need to doubt it. He's going to give it to you because it's the wisest thing to do. V'im lo nigzar, eich tol tefila l'shana v'roshona tzon Hashem l'gzor lav tov achar shlo nigzar. And if he decided not to give it to you, then that's the wisest thing to do. How can tefila, how can nudging or asking change his mind to decree something that he didn't decree? Shlo yishtan Hashem l'rotzon 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 l'rotzon. Hashem's not going to change from wanting to not wanting or not wanting to wanting. U'bar v'zeh yomer shlo yo'il kishrona ma'aseh. Therefore, these people, meaning the people he disagrees with, say that good deeds do not help you get some good thing from Hashem. And they say davening doesn't help you get a good thing or be saved from a bad thing decreed on you. Then he continues, says, they're wrong. Why? Because the flow from above only flows to someone if he's on a certain level or a certain state where he's prepared to receive them. If he doesn't prepare himself to receive that flow, that bounty, then it's his fault that he prevented it from coming on himself. Now he gives a mashal from the world of Gashmias. Let's say Hashem decreed on someone that he'll grow a lot of crops in this year, in a certain year. But he doesn't plow or sow in that year. Even if Hashem gives a lot of rain, nothing will grow since he didn't plow or sow. Since he didn't prepare himself for receiving that, it's his own fault that he lost it. Okay, that's not the important part. That's just a mushel. The mushel is, Hashem might want to give you something good, but he only gives you something good if you do what's necessary to receive it. But what's the nimshal? What's relevant for us? When Hashem decrees a good thing on you, of course Hashem only decrees a good thing on someone when they're a certain level of goodness, of good deeds. This is the principle of all the reward of punishment in the Torah. Meaning there's chara onesh. Hashem doesn't just stam decide what you get. He decides what you get better if you are better and worse if you are worse. That's the whole half the Torah is all about starva onesh. Like Hashem decreed chas shalom something bad, that's only if you're in a certain level or a certain state of badness. If you change your level, you change your state, then automatically the gzera changes. Meaning, you don't have to change Hashem's mind. Hashem already decided if you'll get this, but if you improve, you'll get that. That's what he says in the Torah, in the Tocha, in Sarva Onesh. If so, let's just, last paragraph one, finish up the idea of Yal Zeh, Derech Umubu'ar. Therefore, it is clear, Shetoil HaTfila Kishrona Maaseh, that prayer or good deeds is effective, to prepare you, to put you in a state where you can receive a good bounty, or to nullify a bad decree. Because if you had a bad decree and you daven, then you've left your bad level and you've risen a level. And Sofer, one of the speakers in Sefer Iyov, hinted at this idea when he blamed Iyov for not davening to Hashem and not preparing himself to putting himself in a state where he can nullify the bad decree. Okay, you get the point. What's his point? His point is very clear. How does tefillah work to get you something from Hashem? It makes you a better person. When I daven, I'm now on a higher madrega. And if you're on a higher madrega, then I deserve more schar.
Then why did you daven for a specific, for something?
A great question. Then why do you daven for a specific thing? It would seem that according to the Sefer Yikarim, let me not answer the question exactly how you asked it, but it would seem, according to Sefer Yikarim, that I might daven for one thing, but it might be equally reasonable that I get that thing or get something else that's good. Meaning, I might daven for something, but Hashem might know it's really better to give me something else and it'll be worth with something else. Lav dafka, the answer to the tefillah is what I asked for. Now, it might happen that just statistically, most of the time, if I daven for something in a very heartfelt fashion, it's probably something good for me that Hashem would give me if I improved myself, so I might get that. But you're right. It might very well be that a guy will daven for, he applied for a job, he really wants to get that job, and Hashem will reward his higher madrega, but that job wouldn't have worked out by giving him a different job. Okay, could be. Yes.
I understand how good deeds could make you into a better person than readying yourself to receive more. How does tefillah do that?
Okay, how does tefillah make you a better person? Great. So now I want to take like a little tangent. How does tefillah make you a better person? Right? You can ask that question without our starting point of how it gets you things. Just how does tefillah make you a better person? I want to see on the sheet a number of opinions how tefillah makes you a better person. I want to start with the most minimal opinion, which is that of the Rambam, the Mordechai, number two. Ha'ara. The Halobi'arti l'chashizah seichel asher shafa'alei mi'ashem yitaleh. The Rambam tells you at the very end of the Morah that this intellect which Hashem gave us, huadibak ha'shevinim leino. Of course, the Rambam, being an intellectual, it says the seichel is the connection between us and Hashem. V'arashut etun alecha, imtir tzalecha zegetibak hazeh taseh, and you have all permission, not permission, meaning not moral permission, but free will. You have free will. If you want to strengthen your connection to Hashem, you can. If you want to weaken it little by little till it disappears, you also can. The only way to strengthen the connection is to use your seichel for avat Hashem. That all your aim in life should be for the love of Hashem, like we explained. And how do you weaken the connection? If you think about anything besides Hashem. Bidah, says the Rambam, you're closer to Hashem if you think about Hashem, you're further from Hashem if you think about anything else. Bidah, shema'aseh avodot le'kulam, that all these actions of worship, kikriyat ha'torah, like learning the Torah, batfilah, that's relevant for us, davening, va'asot shar mitzvot, and all the other mitzvot, ein tachlit kamenatam, the main point, the main goal is only, le'tlamei v'tasek mitzvah Hashem yitbarach, just to learn or to busy yourself with mitzvot of Hashem, l'panot l'iskei olam, to remove your attention, take away your attention from all worldly business. And then, if you're doing the mitzvah of Hashem or the Torah of Hashem, it says if you thought philosophically about Hashem, will be topped with called the barzul lato and nullify everything else. Meaning, what's the point of tefillah as well as many other mitzvot? I don't think it means all the mitzvot. It means all the mitzvot that he calls avodah. What's the point of tefillah? It is to think about Hashem instead of thinking about worldly things. Usually we might go through our life thinking about worldly things, right? I don't know what people think about it. We're in a different stage in life, right? They think about the stock market. They think about their business. They think about whatever they think about. Think about World Series, whatever they think about. Not anymore. Whatever they think about. And when they daven or learn, etc., they think about Hashem. And what's important about thinking about Hashem? So let's just read a little more, then I'll take a question. All of a sudden I realize an amazing insight. Which will answer a lot of questions and reveal theological secrets. Who we explained in the Prakim about Hashgacha Pratit, like Zion, whatever. Ki chafishir seichel shel kol bal seichel ti hashgacha bo. In the level of intellect you have, that's how much hashgacha pratis you'll have. V'ha'isha shalem basagat. Yeah, he doesn't mean level of intelligence, your IQ. He means level of intelligence, how much you think about Hashem. Someone who has a full understanding of Hashem, who never stops thinking about Hashem, Hashem will always watch over him and take care of him. Someone who has a good, proper understanding of Hashem but distracts the attention of Hashem sometimes, you'll only have Hashgacha when you think about Hashem. And you, Hashem won't watch over you when you're thinking about business. It doesn't mean you'll leave like someone who doesn't know Hashem at all. It just means you'll have less. Says the Rambam, the more you think about Hashem, the more Hashgacha Pratit you have, the more Hashem watches over you and takes care of you. Okay, and then for the Rambam, it's obvious. Like the Sefer Ikarim. How does davening help? Well, davening makes you think more about Hashem. When you think more about Hashem, you have Hashgacha. When you connect to Hashem, now you're connected to Hashem. Hashem takes care of you. Okay, you're on a higher entry of connecting to Hashem, and Hashem takes care of you. But how does it make you a better person? For the Rambam, very poshut. How does it make you a better person? It makes you think about Hashem. When you think about Hashem, you're a better person. When you think about anything else, you're a worse person. Okay, that's the Rambam's shot.
What differentiates in the Rambam the Sefer Ikarim tefillah from any other? I mean, especially in the Rambam, thinking about philosophy.
So, fascinatingly, Sefer Ikarim did not fundamentally differentiate tefillah from any other religious thing that you do. I mean, obviously, tefillah's different from going to a casino, because it's religious instead of secular. But what differentiates tefillah from other religious acts? The Sefer Ikarim did not differentiate it a lot. He said tefillah v'kashrona ma'aseh, tefillah and good deeds. The Rambam did not differentiate it. He says tefillah and kriyat haTorah, which means Talmud Torah, and asiyat shaar mitzvot. Right? He didn't specifically differentiate tefillah. So if we ask for a second here, how does tefillah make you a better person? For the Rambam, it wasn't something very specific, at least the Rambam here, very specific about tefillah. It makes you think about Hashem, which the other mitzvahs also do. Okay, so you'll say each of them have their own way of reminding you about Hashem in their own time, their own place, but it's not fundamentally different. Does anyone make a different suggestion of how tefillah makes you a better person in a way more so, and not more so, but differently, uniquely different from all other mitzvahs? Maybe tefillah makes you a better person in a different way than Talmud Torah, and in a different way than, tefillah lulav.
Maybe by focusing on the things that tefillah has you focus on, it actually causes a psychological or some sort of change in your spiritual or psychological makeup, such that you're better off than you were before.
How so?
Choose a specific example. Like if it makes you more in touch with, maybe one of the midot of Hashem or one of the rachamim or some sort of thing that if you're asking someone to be something to be merapeh or something else, then you're
okay. Like, good. Okay.
I was just going to say something similar.
Okay.
The fact that you're in conversation with Hashem, you're more aware and closer to him at that point than you try
okay,
to
a conversation creates unique kind of closeness.
Just the act of asking for something makes you realize your dependence.
Realize dependence. Okay, let's look, for example, the Chobos HaLevavos number 3. Says the Chobos HaLevavos.
Well, I know that, I don't know the exact term. I know there's an idea to stand in tefillah until your heart hurts. I feel like that comes up somewhere.
Sure, you have to make yourself sick, as it were.
Right, which makes it sound like it's a real avoda, right? You're really giving up something of yourself to stand in front of Hashem. So you're changing, not because you're realizing something, but you're doing something, you're sacrificing yourself before Hashem to stand before him.
Okay, good. All these ideas I think will be directly or indirectly in some of the course. Let's just read something inside. Number 3, the Chobos HaLevavos. V'amru al echad minatz. And you see how these ideas overlap and have some similarity also. V'amru al, meaning there's no absolute right or wrong way to decide how many different ideas you can divide them in, because, they're all related to each other. And it's not even like machlokas, like everything could be true. Mm-hmm. Right, so let's look at the Chobos HaLevavos. Let's see how they express it. V'amru al echad minatz tzaddikim shayu omer achar tefilaso. He says, Hashem, I didn't tell you my needs to inform you of them. I didn't tell you what I need to inform you. You already know. Elash are gish begot of Hashem to inform myself. Not to inform, but to make it real, to make me feel god of Hashem, how much I need from you, and how much I put my trust in you. Meaning, says the Chobos, in tefillah, why do I ask God for my needs? It's not that I ask God for my needs. It's not like the human father. I ask my father for what I need to tell him something he doesn't know, to make him think something he didn't think yet. No. Hashem, I tell you what I need to make me think, to change me. How does it change me? Because now I realize not just that you exist, not just that I think about God, but I think about my dependence on you. I specifically ask for needs because then I realize my needs come from Hashem, and I look to Hashem for my needs. And if you look to Hashem for your needs, then that is really a unique spiritual elevation. As a matter of fact, the Rav says this someplace, but I don't remember where. He says that really tefillah is a tremendous act of self-sacrifice. Why? Because everyone wants to be independent and not need anyone else's help. Right? We all wish we could be independent. No one likes to feel they need someone else's help. Certainly not another person, or even God. And what do we say? We say, Hashem, I'm not independent. I can't take care of myself. I depend on you. Okay? That's a real act of self-sacrifice, and I think the Chobos HaLevavos would add to the Rambam, it's not just thinking about Hashem the same as Talmud Torah. No, Talmud Torah is a different kind of thinking about Hashem, but this has unique attribute of it to realize my dependence on Hashem. And that's something which only tefillah does, and not the other mitzvot, because I'm asking for my needs. Similarly, if you turn the page, there are some similar ideas. Again, there's certainly some overlapping here. Let's skip for a moment to 5, the Sefer HaChinuch. He says two things. he says, number one, the roots of the mitzvah of tefillah is what I already mentioned a few times, because goodness and blessing, I'm reading Makor 5, come to someone in accordance with his actions and goodness of heart and purity of thought. And Hashem, the master of all who created us, wants to do good for us. Therefore, he led us in a path. He taught us the path of mitzvos. She is good, so he gives chos. Why does Hashem give us mitzvot so that we can have getting? We can have as a chos. Vodim gamkin apakol and petach b'asher esikul kol shalayim tov. And he also told them and gave them an opening of how they could get all their desires for good. V'ushi yivakshim men baruch hu. Hashem told us the davening, because he wants us to get good things. He tells us, how do you get good things? You ask from him. Asher v'yodu stop kusvei chos kol shonu. Who has the ability and the power to give us whatever we need? Kihu yanet to Shemayim b'chol shigur meset. He'll answer from Shemayim to anyone who calls to him in truth. He says, why does Hashem tell us to daven? Because that way we'll get good things. Okay, he doesn't explain exactly how we get good things, but then he continues. Besides telling us about davening, he also commanded us to daven. Right? It's like Hashem did two favors. He told us about davening as an option, and he commanded us to. Of course, this is the Shita of the Rambam that he's following. We should always ask him for all our needs and everything our heart desires. Besides getting what we want, we'll have his chos. Because we'll inspire our souls and we'll affix in our minds. He is the master who gives us good. And he's always watching us. He's always listening to our cries. He never sleeps or slumbers. And he guards us, we believe his kingship, v'yicholto, and his ability, without any doubt, he can do whatever he wants. Basically, it reminds us of a lot of very unique things that only Tefillah reminds us of, that he is all-powerful, and that he's always watching us, and he gives us good things. I think it's a continuation of the derech of the chinuch, says the chinuch, he adds that, we realize Hashem's power and his what he gives us and his hashkacha. Okay, since we're asking him for things, that makes us specifically realize certain aspect of God. I think these are fairly simple, fairly similar. Makes us specifically reinforce in our mind a certain aspect of what Hashem does, which is, or depends on him and his role in watching over us, and therefore that could create a uniquely high madriga. A slightly, perhaps, psychologically deeper understanding is found in the Ramchal, the Sefer Derech Hashem. Look at number 7. I'm going to skip for a moment the Aleph. Let's go to 7. That. But on the Omek Yosef Vishvi, the deeper level of Philo, who? Ki Hinei, this is very clever, this Ramchal. The Dr. Makodesh. Hashem Baruch Hu gave man intelligence to take care of himself in this world. The sacred tool with intelligence. Meaning, why did he give us a brain? He gave us a brain, interestingly, not just so we could learn Torah, so that we could work within the Gashmius of this world. He gave us a Gashmius brain also, so that we could figure out how to do things in the world. He put a burden on us, to take care of our needs physically. Why would Hashem want us to have to take care of our physical needs? Why would he want us to be osek in the physical world? For two reasons. Number one, to be machshim us and show how precious we are, that we have intelligence and we can actually take care of ourselves. So we'll be connected to the physical world. That's what keeps us in a human sense in this world, as we mentioned above, because we need to have a secular existence and not merely holy. That's what we need in this world, in this time, in accordance with Hashem of the world. Okay, so two good reasons why we have to go out and use our abilities to work within Gashmias. Number one, it's Chashev, that we are doing things. Hashem created the world, and we do things in the world. And number two, we have to be connected to the physical world in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish down here. But, he says, you read a little in the other.
but it's also a yirida. It's a yirida that's necessary and causes us a greater aliyah later. Like I said earlier. But just like we need this yirida into gashmius in this world, we can't have too much yirida into gashmius. We can't get too mired in gashmius. Then we'll lose our ruchnius. Right? So the more you get mired in the yanim of this world, kaplitz rachim and ora elyon, you get further away from the supernal light. It's chashim heals there. And you get darkness. Meaning, Hashem wants us to be involved in gashmius. Let's take, be very, he wants to go out and work for a living. But he doesn't want us to get too involved in our work, because then we'll forget about ruchnius. Okay, seems like a bit of an unfair challenge, right? Oh, go, like, do gashmius, but not too much. So did he give us any sort of strategies to help cope with this? Yes, he did. He gave us a strategy to fix this problem. That we go first and we come close and stand in front of him. We ask our needs from him, but put our burden on him. And that's the beginning of all of the arishtavos. Meaning, interestingly, what do you have to do first in the morning? Work or daven? Halacha says you have to daven first. Why do you have to daven first? Says the seals to start, but it says the Ramchal. Not because davening is more important. Not like there are two things, and one is chash of 12, and the other is only chash of 7, so you do what's chash of 12 first. No, it's not two separate things, and you just put them in order of importance. It's that one is necessary prerequisite for the other. You can't work until you daven. Because if you work without davening, you get stuck in gashmius. If before you go to work, you say, Hashem, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem, give me a parnassah, because everything comes from you. And Hashem help me, then when you then go to work, you'll put it in a perspective of, this is part of my relationship with Hashem. If you, before you work, you ask Hashem for Hatzlach in your work, then that gives you a different perspective on work. It's actually true. Someone who goes to work after, I don't necessarily mean, unfortunately, in Judaism nowadays, and even the old days, sometimes davening means mumbling some words from a book. But let's assume that that way, if davening actually means sincerely talking to Hashem. If someone goes to work after sincerely asking Hashem for Hatzlach in their work, then their work is a completely different experience. That's what he says, then I'll take a question. He says, to the point where if you get involved in all the ways of work which are human, it won't happen. You won't get mired and stuck in physicality. Because you already said it's all from Hashem. You won't go down too far. You'll be supported. Says the Ramchal something very, very clever. Says the Derech Hashem. How does it make you a better person? Specifically, it's not just to realize your dependence on Hashem, but it creates a framework for physical hishtadlus, which keeps it in the context of ruchnius. Right? That's what he says. Tefillah is very important. How does it make you a higher madriga? How does tefillah make you a better person? Because all of the physical things you have to do, it puts in a context of ruchnius, and therefore you do them completely differently. Okay, I think that's a very, from my experience of the world, true idea.
This is only true after the Churban. Presumably before, the people at least would be only davening once a day. And
first of all, even if you only daven once a day, I don't think it makes a philosophical difference.
According to the...
Once a day is also before you go to work. Right?
It doesn't structure your day the same way that Shachar Mechamarev does.
Okay, but I think Shachar still does on a basic level.
Okay,
he only talked about Shachar here. He says before you go out, right? Okay. So he's only talking about Shachar here. And you can easily assume that even in the old days, Shachar was... had to be first. So I think he can get away with it.
Okay.
Now, yes.
By the way, it's also, just to your point, there's only as a set takana that every had to do everything today. There's, you know, people could in a less formal way be dominating at different times.
Fair enough. Okay. Now, there's one other very radically different approach of Rav Hirsch, which perhaps is very famous to us. Rav Hirsch, as you know, Rav Hirsch, one of his many strong points, and this is a creative point, is that he liked to darshan, he might say pshat, Hebrew root words, and, you know, in ways that connected them to other Hebrew root words. Meaning most you know, linguists would not necessarily connect all these words. But first, like, to connect the differential Russian. So here you have the easy one. What actually does the hitpalel mean? You should know that if you read any of the scholarship on this, it's a bit of a mystery exactly what the hitpalel. We all know it means to daven. But, like, where does it come from? Right? How does hitpalel mean daven? Is a bit of a mystery. Says rehearse something very clever. Anyone here know diktuk? Okay, hitpalel is which binyan?
Reflexive.
Is reflexive. Reflexive means do it to yourself, right? The hit, three-letter root, is always to do something to yourself, right? Nafal is to fall. Hit napel is to throw yourself down, right? To make yourself fall. And it's true for all the hit, whatever it may be. Okay, so, right? The hit barich bil vavo lemor shalom yali in parsha mitzvah. Hit barich means to bless yourself, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Anyone you can think of should work. That's a rule. So, hit palel is very easy. It's just the reflexive of palel. Okay, but what does palel mean? So this is very difficult. What does the word palel mean? It's a big mystery. Like, there's no, like, scholarly shot that's for sure right, that everything else is just a guess. No, no one knows exactly. Where do we find the root word palel in the Torah? And no one's Barbara's Parsha is Mishpatim? No? That's with one lamed, not with two, right? That's really from Pele. That's the Hifla, right? That's Hifla, the Hifla Shem Meirach. Main McName, sorry, main McNeishel. No. But exactly. By the blood oath, the person who causes a miscarriage, right? Kasher Yashit Allah Bali Shah, Vinatan Bifli Lim. He has to pay Bifli Lim. What does Pli Lim mean there? Seems to mean with judges. As a matter of fact, your modern Hebrew was plili mean?
Criminal.
Right? Meaning you go to court for it. If something's plili, you should not do it in modern Hebrew. So it doesn't mean it's prayerful. It means it's criminal. So the if palel is the judge, then what is the hit palel? It is to judge yourself. Says Rav Hirsch, number four. The Hebrew word hitpalel, he also says this slightly more tersely in the Parish of the Chumash and Chayei Sarah, if I'm not mistaken. But he says it, I think the clearest formulation is right here in a sefer called Choriv, chapter 6:18. The Hebrew word hitpalel, I hope you'll forgive me for putting the English on the Makorot sheet instead of Hebrew. He wrote it in German, so you might as well be doing it in English, right? English is a Germanic language. The Hebrew word hitpalel, meaning prayer, he had written in Arabic, I would put it in Hebrew. Because it's a Semitic language. But it's always better to read German than English, like, if you don't know German. The Hebrew word hitpalel, meaning prayer for judgment, is actually a reflexive form of verb meaning to judge. Okay, that's what we just said. We got it from him. Therefore, it denotes judging oneself. What is tefillah? It's judging yourself, or coming to a correct opinion of oneself, or at least an inner attempt to accomplish this. In other words, prayer is an attempt to gain true judgment of oneself. Therefore, prayer denotes a step out of active life so as to gain a true judgment of oneself. It is an attempt to gain true knowledge about one's ego, about his relationship to God in the world, and of the relationship God in the world have to him. It strives to infuse the mind and heart to live an active life that is purified, strengthened, and made more sublime. The process of arousing self-judgment is called tefillah. In the vernacular, we speak of this as prayer. Prayer meaning asking for stuff. But the vernacular word is an incomplete expression of the concept. Prayer denotes asking for something. But this is only a minor aspect of tefillah. Meaning, the ikkar is not asking for something. The ikkar is self-improvement. How does it improve you? It improves you by making you judge yourself. Okay, what exactly does it mean by this? I heard a great story once, not connected to this. I forget who it was. I ruin all stories. How do I ruin all stories? Because I forget who they're about. When you say them without names, they just fall flat. They don't work anymore. Anyway, someone's telling you a story. It's a mashgiach in certain yeshiva in Europe. And he said he got to the yeshiva and they had, you know, an old building. And there was like a tower in one corner of the building, like four flights up. And that was the mashgiach's office. And he wondered why his office was so high up. Okay. Didn't know. So he was in the yeshiva for a while. Then he decided that he's going to leave the yeshiva. Why was he going to leave the yeshiva? You know, because, I don't know, we were some friends of his who were having a good time in the big city. And it seemed like a little more fun, and the yeshiva was a little too much hard work. So he decided to leave the yeshiva. He was lazy. So he said, okay, leaving the yeshiva. The rule was, it's not a jail, you're allowed to leave yeshiva, but you have to tell the mashgiach that you're leaving. reasonable requirement. So he goes to Mashgiach's office and climbs the first flight of stairs, and he says, okay, I'm going to tell Mashgiach I'm leaving. He's going to ask me, why are you leaving yeshiva? And I'm going to tell him a very logical reason, you know, the whole reason why he's leaving yeshiva. Then he, you know, he's like, you know, whatever, I don't know, there's things to do. Maybe I have to, you know, I have to go save the world, I have to go spread Torah everywhere, you know, all kinds of reasons why he was himself. Okay, as he goes to the second flight of stairs, he's like, Mashgiach's going to see right through that. He's a smart man. Says, he's going to ask me this, he's going to ask me that. Okay, so this is what I'll answer. I'll really have a great explanation. Goes to the third flight of stairs, he's going to see through that too. And he says, no, but really I do have a good reason. As he goes to the fourth flight of stairs, like, no, that's not going to convince anyone. Not going to convince Mashgiach. He is an insightful fellow. And by the time he got to the top of the fourth flight of stairs, he realized that he actually had no good reason to leave yeshiva other than laziness. So he stood by the door and raised his hand to knock on the door and realizes, like, you know, I really don't have a good reason. So he just goes back to this matter some words. Okay, it's a great story. But what's the point? The point is that if you don't have to explain yourself to someone else, it's very easy to just sort of coast through things without ever, like, analyzing too deeply and without asking yourself the hard questions. If you have to, like, stand and tell it to someone else, then already you start asking yourself the hard questions. Already it's not so possible. And I think that's what Hirsch means. Why do we ask Hashem for things in tefillah? We ask Hashem for things because that makes us judge oneself. I say, Hashem, I need A, B, C, and D. All of a sudden I'm thinking, hold on a second. Well, do I really need A, B, C, and D? Maybe I really don't need them at all. Maybe it's just us. Or, and what am I going to do with A, B, C, and D? You know, I need refuah and parnas and all these things. And then what am I going to do with it? You know, it's like, is it going to be worthwhile for Hashem to give it to me? Is it a good investment on his behalf? Am I going to use it properly? It really makes you think about yourself much deeper when you have to ask Hashem for things. Again, assuming you're sincere and you're davening, right? Hashem, give me money. And what am I going to do with money? Right? And why do I need it? Etc. It really makes you think deeper. I would even go so far as to say that according to Rav Hirsch, let us take Rav Hirsch. He says it is self-judgment, the reflexive form of natan bifli lim. You can even explain something else that's very nicely. You know the famous question of why the Shemona Esrei is like everything's written out for us in certain things instead of us asking whatever we feel like asking? Why don't we ask whatever we feel like asking? Why does it have all those brachas written out for us? So there are many classic answers, such as, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know what to ask for all the time, and you wouldn't ask for anything, etc. You want to ask for the same thing as the other Jews so we can feel together at a tzibur. But I think our first answer is pashas. Like, why did Chazal tell me what to ask for and not let me ask for what I want? The answer is because maybe they're trying to hint to me what I should be asking for, right? I think the most important thing in the world is money. And then I get to the Shemona Esrei and I see that wisdom comes first, quite a few brachos before money. So maybe that causes me to judge myself, to think about what my priorities are. Right? It's very meduyah what Chazal put in the Shemona Esrei according to Rav Hirsch. That's part of judging myself. You know, like everyone else, then I get like Tzemach Dov and Bonu Shalayim, and I'm like, who the heck cares? And like, I have to say to myself, well, do I care? Should I care? Why don't I care? You know, does this speak to me? And if it doesn't speak to me, why doesn't it speak to me, right? And it makes you think about what's important in life. So I think a lot of things are very meduyik, according to Rav Hirsch. I actually had a big suffering about this once. I had a question I couldn't answer. Halachic shayla. Halachic shkafic shayla couldn't answer. When I was a Rebbe in MTA, a kid came to me. Said, Rebbe, tonight is the basketball varsity finals. MTA Lions versus Ramaz Rams. I'm pretty sure out in the wilderness, the Lions always beat the Rams. But in Yeshiva Varsity League, it was not so pushy. The Rams usually beat the Lions. So he says, when I say Damon Shemona Esrei, should I ask Hashem to help me win the... I really want to win the championships. Should I ask Hashem to help me win the championships? Or should I not bother Hashem with the basketball game? It's a good question, no? I want Hashem to answer, because I felt like, you know, like, if you are, like, the Chobos HaVavos and the Derech Hashem, like, you should ask Hashem. The whole point is, like, take where you are in your life and connect it to Hashem. Like, you really care about winning the basketball game? Okay, like, use that to connect to Hashem. If you're of Hirsch, I feel like you'd say the opposite. You should be like the guy in the Mashgiach's door. You should be about to ask Hashem to help you. You should be like, Hashem, like, oh, heal all the people with cancer and, like help all, you know, give money to all the people who are poor and, you know, and save Klal Yisrael from their enemies and make me win the basketball. Oh, forget that. That's not important. Maybe you should really think about what's important, what's not. So I wasn't sure how to answer because I didn't know which shot to take. But it's like, according to Rav Hirsch, you should like almost ask Hashem to win the basketball game and then realize that, like, okay, basketball games are cute, but they're not really important in life. Okay, I think that's all part of what Rav Hirsch is saying here. So you have a whole bunch of different explanations as to how tefillah makes you a different person. Just take this over to the other side of the board. We have the question of how does tefillah work? And one answer was, which was the Ikarim and others, it doesn't change Hashem's mind. It changes you. Right? That was basically what we've been working off. Tefillah gets you things not because it changed Hashem's mind. Hashem always thought he would give Schar V'Onesh. It depends on what you deserve. It changes you. It makes you a more deserving person. And then, as Ty pointed out, you might not get what you asked for. Maybe you'll get something else good. Which is fine. You know, yeah, but statistically, you'll often get what you ask for just because most people are intelligent enough to ask for reasonable things. Okay, there's a few other... Before we see other approaches, let's just look at one interesting thing about this. What becomes very difficult according to this approach?
What happens when you... ask him that seems very, it makes very, a lot of sense for it to happen, and then just totally doesn't happen.
Okay, so that is a classic question, but you can say, look, maybe the tefillah works, but there was some countervailing factor. Maybe there's some other reason that just is something you're unaware of, which made that impossible. How does it help if you daven for somebody else? How does davening for someone else help? It's a good question, no? Meaning, according to this, how can you doubt for someone else? If I doubt for someone else, I'm a better person. If they're not. If I doubt for someone else, I should get something. But why should they get something? And now, give me a half answer to this, and that'll give a whole answer. Number 10, the famous Gemara. Amalei Rav Rav Bar Mari. Menahem Mil said, you wonder why I can't just put them in order. Okay, it's already good. Menahem Mil said, number 10, Damar Rabbanu Chol Mbakin Rachma Chavir Utsar Lo Sador Nenachila. How do we know if I daven for you and I need this similar thing? I get answered before you. If Ruven daven for Shimon, Ruven actually gets something before Shimon. How do we know that? So he says, okay, Amalei Dichsev, okay. But he gives, it doesn't matter the course, but it's interesting. This makes a lot of sense according to this approach. If daven makes you a better person, then you should get something before the guy you daven for. But it's not a complete answer, because the question is, why should the other guy get it at all? Right? So then we have a tzarech iyon. A mo'il lehitpalel al achirim. The einachanami hu ne'enatzchila. Avo mikol makom kasha. Einachanami, it makes sense. This is einachanami hu ne'enatzchila. Enochami makes sense that the guy daven should get more reward than the guy daven for, because he's a better person. How did the guy daven for get a reward at all? Anyone have an answer to this? How does it help at all for me to daven for you? I'm a better person, but you're not.
Well, one question I heard from a person for a different reason, he was addressing the question of why is this in the daven for people not a violation of the Ramah's principle of having intermediaries in the Rav Yehem. Explaining that is the number of murders compared to Klai to Guf Echad. So, therefore, it's not considered a problem of intermediary. So, to hear when you do something, it's improving the state of Klal Yisrael and doing Mizoch as a result.
So the Chassam Sofer starts us saying this 11. Interesting. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer says you can ask a rabbi to daven for you, but you can't ask an angel to daven for you. Right? This is the Chassam Sofer writing against Machnise Rachman. Because you and the other rabbi are Guf Echad of Klal Yisrael. You and the angel are not Guf Echad. He starts up by saying Klal Yisrael should from the Guf Echad and Nefesh Echad. Okay, that's at least what it sounds like from the beginning. So one answer could be Kol Yisrael Gof Echad, although that's not really what the Chasam Sofer means. And therefore, if you're all Gof Echad, if I'm a better person, you also have Zechuyos, because we're all Gof Echad. Could very well be. Anyone have another suggestion? Okay.
You could say that your reward is the other one. Is the other guy here.
That's what Chasam Sofer really says. Your reward is the other guy getting better. But here he has a nafkamina, which I think is a fair nafkamina. He says, let's say I daven for you, but I don't really care. Then if you get better, would that reward me? No, because I don't really care. Let's say I daven for you, and I really feel your pain. Then, think about it, interesting. If the guy's biggest pain is that another Jew is suffering, then how would Hashem reward me? By making that other Jew stop suffering, so I won't feel that pain anymore. And he even quotes a Gemara that if you daven for someone else, you have to make yourself sick for them. Says that some sofer, it's an interesting nafkamina, meaning only say mishaber for someone else, or you rust on if you really care. So if you don't really care, then it's not shy, says the Chasam Sofer. And that's why he says you can't talk to Malachim, because they don't really care. Meaning, they don't feel pain. Says the Chasam Sofer, he says, and I think the best answer, because if you feel his pain, then your reward is Hashem helping him. And like, that's like a real Hasidic Rebbe or something. Meaning, what's it make someone a real Hasidic Rebbe in the old days? He feels the pain of his Hasidim. Right? If you feel someone's pain and you've daven for them, then you deserve Hashem to relieve your pain. How can Hashem relieve your pain? By helping the other person. Okay, I'll mention one other pshat from the Michtam Eliyahu, which I don't have on the sheet, just because it's not on the computer. He says a pshat which I'm not as taken by, but he says, if I become a better person davening for you, then you caused me to become a better person. If you caused me a better person, that's a chus of causing someone else to do a mitzvah, and therefore you get a reward. The chiddush here is you didn't do it on purpose, right? You might not even know you did it. That's what he says that the other person has the zechus of encouraging me to improve myself through tefillah. So therefore, that zechus can help him get answered by Hashem. Okay, there are different explanations. I think Mechem Eliyahu might be a little too indirect, but okay, if you like it, then fine. Chasam Sofer says, it's true, it's very sincere. If I feel your pain, Hashem rewards me by helping you. And just like, for example, if someone's kid was sick, Chas V'Shalom, of course it would be a reward for them to heal their kid. Because like, it's their kid, like they're the one suffering. So maybe some people, everyone is their brother. Or maybe just Klal Yisrael's Gof Echad, and one person's chutz can help for someone else. Because that's the unique secret of Klal Yisrael. In any case, it's a challenge how you can doubt for someone else according to this, but it's a challenge that has been addressed. And maybe we'll continue with some more of these makoros. Basically, what we haven't gotten to yet is, are there other answers to how does tefillah work besides changing me? Meaning, is there a valid answer to say it changes God? Or is there a third option? Okay, maybe I will ask you to either leave these here and I'll bring them back, or bring them back yourself next time. And then we'll see some more answers to the original question next time, and hopefully have time to see some more peculiar things as well.